ELC Radio.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
To restore your roar. We've been in the middle of this series, and I hope it's blessing you. We've taken our text from Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, that says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as lions." And you and I, followers of Jesus Christ, we are supposed to be bold as lions. We also looked at Acts chapter 4, verse 13, that talked about the main characteristic of the early church that told the world they had been with Jesus was not their understanding of the scriptures. It was not their ability to preach or communicate. It was simply their boldness, their ability to convey confidence and be courageous and be bold for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we've looked at that and understood that I believe God is calling you and I to get back to being bold in our witness, our back to being bold in how we live. And we've talked about the lion because Proverbs 28 compares us with a lion. It says we're supposed to be bold like a lion. And so we've looked at a lion and we've already talked about reasons why a lion roars and reasons why you need to roar. And we've looked at why a lion loses its roar. And that's where we've been at. And the zoologists have found that lions will stop roaring when they're brought into captivity, like a zoo or put in a cage. It won't be long that they'll lose their ability to roar. Now, that's a powerful ability to lose. That roar does so many things. We talked about the power of the roar. It could be heard for 5 miles away. It could ward off predators. It could stop a fight before it even begins. That roar brings order to the pride. And when a lion roars, the alpha male, all fighting will stop. And the lions will fall into line because of the authority in his roar. As powerful as the roar is, a lion loses it when it's brought into captivity. The same way a Christian loses his roar when he's brought into bondage to sin. And a couple weeks ago, we talked about the importance of not being bound into sin anymore. And if you're dealing with an addiction or you're dealing with something, go back and listen to that or watch that. It's on the Facebook page or on our YouTube page. And last week, we talked about another reason the lion loses its roar. It loses its roar when it's not hunting, when it's not doing what it was created to do, was given the ability to hunt. And when you take a lion out of the wild and you put him in an enclosure or a cage and you simply feed it every day, it loses its ability to roar. And many Christians have lost their ability to roar because, like the lion, they're not hunting anything. They're not pursuing anything. They've lost their mission. And we talked about last week that our mission that we've been given from Jesus Christ as new creatures in Christ, as we've been blessed with salvation, with eternal life, he says, now go and bring this message to everyone you meet. And make disciples of all nations wherever you go. Many Christians have lost this mission, which means they're not hunting anything. They're not pursuing anything. They're simply existing. And their cage, like a lion's cage is a zoo, a Christian's cage just begins to be their church, where they just go to church and they eat the word and they have praise parties, but they never go out and take on the mission and say, Jesus, I will do your work here in the earth. I will be your hands and feet. I will be your mouthpiece. I will represent you wherever I go. And when Christians aren't doing that, they lose their roar. We looked at the scripture where Jesus says, when salt loses its flavor, it begins to be good for nothing. And then, not long after that, man will trample it under his feet. We've seen a lot of Christians that maybe you're out there today, you feel like you're just getting stepped on all the time. Well, maybe you are. And maybe it's because you haven't said yes to the mission of reaching others for Jesus Christ. We talked about that last week. Today, we want to talk about the third reason that a lion loses its roar, and maybe the third reason that you've lost your roar. Now, zoologists have found that the third reason a lion loses its roar is it loses its roar when it's in isolation. Did you catch that? When it's in isolation. When you take a lion out of its pride, away from its pride, away from its pack of other lions, and you put it in a zoo by itself, you put it in a cage by itself, you take it away from its pride, it loses its roar. And I believe you take a Christian away from the church, his community of believers, his spiritual family, and guess what? You'll lose your roar. And many of you watching right now, you have lost your roar because you've believed the lie that I could do this on my own. I don't need church. I don't need this. I don't need to be around people. It's just me and Jesus. I have a personal relationship with Jesus. You know how many times I've heard that from people? Well, I believe in Jesus. I just don't believe in church. I believe in Jesus. I have my own personal relationship with Jesus. I just don't go to church. And people seem so justified in that. They feel so justified in that I can do this on my own without anybody else. And so we find so many Christians in isolation. But when you find a Christian in isolation, you'll find that their roar usually has been taken. Guys, we have not been created for isolation. Let me take you to the scriptures. Let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It says, and the Lord God said, this is a profound statement, it is not good. Now, why is that a profound statement? Because in everything that God said in the creation of the world, the creation of man, it says he created the earth and it was good. He created the birds and it was good. But on this day, in this scripture, he created something and he followed it up with this statement, it's not good. Now, what was it that in paradise, in a perfect world, was not good? Well, he said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And that's where we see Eve come into the picture. We see God give man woman, which the word woman comes from basically two words, a man with a womb. What is that womb to be used for? Procreation. And what are they going to create? More people. Why? Because it's not good that man be alone. From the onset, the only thing in paradise that wasn't good that God created was the fact that man had nobody. And can I tell you, it's still not good today. It's still not good. We need others. We need other people. And it doesn't matter. You could say, well, I'm a type B personality, or I'm this type of person, and I'm an introvert and all these things. That's fine. But you were created for community. Oh, come on, somebody. You know it's true. Let's go through further in the scriptures here as the word, you know, reminds us and warns us even about being in isolation for too long. Psalm 68, 4 and 6 says it like this. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds by his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. He's a father of the fatherless. Oh, come on, somebody. He's a defender of widows. He is God in his holy habitation. And then it says this. It is God who sets the solitary into families. And he brings out those who are bound into prosperity. But the rebellious, they dwell in a dry land. So what the scriptures is telling us here is this. It's God's purpose to set you in a family. And as he does that, he brings out those that are bound into prosperity. But what is the key? The key is family. The key is community. But then he goes on to say something equally as profound. But the rebellious, the people that know this but still don't want it, they're going to dwell in a dry land. In a dry land. Now what's the significance of a dry land? And when I read that, I thought, man, there's more to that. And I was reminded of Luke 11:24, when Jesus was casting out the evil spirits, and he was teaching about binding the strong man, and he was teaching about how the kingdom of darkness works. And he says this in Luke 11:24. He says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest, but finding none. And he says, I will return to my house, which I came. So think about this. The rebellious dwell in a dry land, and evil spirits go through dry places, seeking bodies or people to rest with. Guys, isolation is a place where the enemy eats your lunch and you don't even know it. Isolation is the place where the enemy can come into your life through rebellion, through just not wanting to submit to God's ways or be a part of God's plan or allow people into your life. And the only thing in those dry places is evil spirits. And those evil spirits will lie to you. They'll rob from you. They'll bind you. And that's why I believe it says God takes the solitary and puts them in families. And then he takes those who are bound in those dry places and he brings them into prosperity. But where is prosperity found? It's found in the gathering. It's not found in isolation. Now, I know there's somebody out there saying, oh, but Pastor, didn't Jesus pull away from the crowd from time to time? Didn't he leave the crowd and go up on the mountain? Yes, but it was never for prolonged periods of time. Isolation can be something good, but only in small doses, not months, years. And for some, they've even turned that into their lifetime. And I've even just said, well, this is just the way it is. I don't like people. We just like to keep to ourselves. But Psalms warns us against that. It warns us against it and tells us it's the plan of God that you dwell in a community, a family. And if you rebel, the dry land awaits you. Come on, don't get mad at me. I'm just reading you scriptures today. Because what I'm trying to tell you is this. Isolation is going to cause you to lose your roar. Guys, we need the gathering. We've been saying this from day one. The church is essential. Come on, let's keep reading. Proverbs 18:1-2. It says this. A man who isolates himself. In other words, a man who stays away from the gathering. Doesn't want to be a part of a church. Doesn't want to be a part of a family. He seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. A fool has no delight in understanding, but only expressing his own heart. So now Proverbs is telling us that one who isolates is selfish, cares only about himself, seeks only his own desires. And can I just tell you, there's nothing godly about that. It's actually anti the way God is teaching us to be, to care for others, to love God and lift others. But a rebellious person, they like this. This is the way they want to live. A man who isolates himself, all he cares about is what he thinks and how he feels. You know what awaits him? A dry place and no roar, no boldness, no power. Let's keep reading. Ecclesiastes says, chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Once again, the word just saying, hey, man, two are better than one. Three is even better. And keep going. Keep going. Keep adding to the bunch. We know the principle that started in Deuteronomy 32:30 and later found in Joshua 10 that says one can chase 1,000, but two can chase 10,000. You know what it's saying there? That one is powerful, but two is not doubly powerful. It's 10 times as powerful. Keep doing the math. Add one to that. Add another to that. Add another to that. And you could see why the enemy does not want us gathering together. Because if one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000, what could 100 of us do? What could 200 of us do? I tell you what we can do. We can shake the very gates of hell. But you don't want to gather. But you don't want to be a part of a church. Well, what is the church? We talked about this last week. The church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which means one of the definitions is the gathering together of called out ones to action. But you don't want to be a part of that. Hebrews 10:24 in the New Testament, verse 24 and 25 says this, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Even in their day, there were people that were against the gathering or the church. Now, as I get into this, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Let's talk about something called church hurt, because this always comes up. When you're encouraging people to join a local church, get involved in a church. And this is usually where someone says, well, I did that before and I got hurt. I did that before and I got taken advantage of. I did that and this bad thing happened or that bad thing happened. Listen, I'm sorry that that happened. I want to validate that church hurt does exist. But I want to say this. Nobody knows church hurt like a pastor or a leader. We see it all. I mean, man, I could write a book on church hurt. But this year will be my 30th year in ministry. Didn't think I was going to make it. The hurt happened. The things that happened, the things we've been through, and the way we've been betrayed by people. And one person one week telling you, Pastor, we're here for you forever, whatever your family needs. And the very next week sending you a nice little phone call or a text saying, we feel a transition coming on. And here you were built up and let down. And people that stole, and people that talked about your wife, and people that talked about your kids, and people that talked about you even though you were there for them, in moments where their marriage almost didn't make it, or their situation was so dire, but you showed up and you prayed. I could preach a whole message on church hurt. Nobody knows church hurt like a pastor. But I do want to say this. Church hurt is real. And there's some of you out there watching. The reason you don't go to church is because you've been hurt. But can I just tell you something? Refuse to let church hurt rob from you anymore. See, you think, well, I'm better off not going to church because that happened. No, that thing that happened is still hurting your life until you let it go. You see, you say, Pastor, how do I let it go? Well, let's go to the scriptures. Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 15 says this. Therefore, as the elect of God, the holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Did you catch that? I'm going to read that again because I think we forget that the scriptures are speaking to the people in Colossians, the Colossian church here, and it's telling them, this is how you deal with church hurt. Therefore, as the elect of God, that's us, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering. Sometimes you got to put up with folks and you got to suffer a little while. Bear one another, bear with one another. And then it says this, and forgive one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, leave the church. No, it doesn't say that. You know what it says? It says forgive the exact same way Christ forgave you. Man, what would happen if we would live like this? What would happen if we would deal with our church hurt the way the scriptures tell us to? Through forgiveness. Through allowing the Holy Spirit to give us the ability which of what we cannot do on our own. Numerous times I wanted to give up. Hey, I was with you. Numerous times I wanted to give up on this thing called the church. It had hurt me. It had not been good to me. But then I always get back in the scriptures. And then I'm always reminded that even though I was hurt in the church, some of the greatest blessings of my life have happened in the church. There were times the church saved my marriage. That's right. There's been pastors that helped us get through tough patches. There's been times when church has provided love that I didn't know. There's been seasons of my life where I've been closer to people within the church than I've been with my own family. You see, what church hurt will try to get you to do is forget all the good. Forget all the good. And simply get you to focus on that one thing that happened that you can't let go of. Now, guys, I want to just say this. I know there are some things that are beyond church hurt, like serious things that pastors have done to congregants, abuse them spiritually, abuse them physically, abuse them mentally. Listen, that's not what I'm talking about today. Like literal harm being done to people in church, their psyches, those kinds of things. I'm not just here to tell you, hey, get over that. No, get some help with that. Get some help. But what I'm kind of addressing is the offenses that we carry. And well, I went to church and then they told me I couldn't sing anymore, so I stopped going. Well, I went to church and then this person was talking bad about me, so I quit going. I went to church and then people were gossiping and blah, 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 and this and that. You want to know how to deal with it? Colossians 3:12 says, hey, I'm sorry that happened. Let me give you the Sergio Limon translation. Colossians 3:12 through 15 says, hey, I'm sorry that that happened, but you're called of God. And now it's time to show those people that hurt you mercy. It's time you show them kindness, meekness, and humility. And most of all, it's time that you forgive them for hurting you the way Christ forgave us for hurting him through our sins, through our rebellion. Did you catch that? It's an opportunity for you and I to act like Christ. It's an opportunity for you and I to do what Jesus did and forgive. But the church of today, they don't want to let things go. So you know what we do? We isolate. I'm not going to church anymore because that last church I was in hurt me. Pastor said this, they did this, they let me down. They weren't there for me. Whatever it is. Hey, listen, it's going to happen in any church. If you're looking for the perfect church, it ain't perfect. It don't exist. People will let you down. Pastors will let you down. Listen, we just had a newcomers meeting and I led with this. Hey, listen, I hope you don't think this is the perfect church. We're going to probably let you down. I mean, I led with that. You know why I lead with that? Because it's the truth. It's the truth. We're imperfect. But here's the thing. When people hurt me, what I've learned to do is do what the scriptures tell me and show mercy, show kindness, bear one another, exhibit long suffering, and above all else, forgive. Forgive. But you know what people do nowadays? They leave and go to another church and go to another church. Some even start churches out of their offense. That's not how we're supposed to handle these things. But here's my point. Many of you watching, you've thought church hurt is a good reason to stop going to church altogether. And what I've got to tell you is this, it's not. You're only hurting yourself. You're believing a lie. Satan wants you isolated. Because when you're isolated, you're in his dry place. He can then speak to you. He can lie to you. He can deceive you into thinking you're right with God. He can deceive you into thinking everything's okay until one day you face the throne of Jesus Christ and he says, depart from me because I never knew you. And you say, I did this, this, and this. But he says, I'm sorry, I never knew you. See, those kind of deceptions take place when you're in the dry place. But quit isolating. Join and be a part of the family of God. Look what else it says in Colossians 3, verse 12. It says, bear with one another, forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you must also forgive. Then it says this, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. What's it saying? With all you got to go through and all you got to do, walk in love so you can continue to be one body. Because the enemy wants you isolated, but God's got a place for you in a family. Oh, come on, somebody, give me some love in the comments right there if you're catching what I'm saying. Now, let me just preference all that to say, hey, church hurt, God can heal it. It's time for you to forgive, and it's time for you to go back home. That's right. It's time for you to go back home. Oh, Pastor, I just feel like if I do, it's going to hurt again. Can I just tell you? Sometimes we have wrong expectations of church. I've had people say, well, Pastor, I start coming to church and this person said this and it just shocked me because I thought that this is not the place where people should be hurting. Hey, there are people in this church that are imperfect. They're imperfect. And sometimes people hurt on purpose and sometimes people hurt on accident. But I made a decision a long time ago, whether I'm hurt on purpose or I'm hurt on accident, I'm going to forgive and I'm going to release. The gathering is not perfect. And I'll even say it like this. Sometimes the gathering is painful. Proverbs 27:17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You ever see our iron sharpening iron? The sparks, the friction. It's representative of some pain. But without getting around other brothers and sisters, you don't get sharper. I want to get sharper. Therefore, I'm going to have to bear one another. I'm going to have to bear somebody's weaknesses. I'm going to have to forgive somebody. I'm going to have to show kindness and meekness to somebody that's talking bad about me. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 24 through 26. It says, but our presentable parts have no need, but God composes the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that all the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all members suffer with him. Or if one member is honored, we all, our members, rejoice with him. What are we talking about here? We're talking about unity. We're talking about being put and placed in families, being brought out of bondage into prosperity. Brothers and sisters, you've been created for community. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my gathering. Church has always been on the heart of heaven. And it's always been about community, gathering together. What are you waiting for? Listen, I'm sorry for what happened to you at church. I'm sorry somebody hurt you or let you down or didn't care for you or rejected you or whatever it is. Listen, I get it. It exists. And I'm sorry for the atrocities that have happened. I'm not ignorant to those things either. The pastors that robbed, raped members, abused members, pastors that did terrible things and now you can't trust another. Listen, I get it. All that stuff is out there and all that stuff is real, but will you at least pray about the word that I'm giving you today? Will you at least have a conversation with the Holy Spirit about what I've just preached to you today? Because I guarantee you, he's going to say the same thing to your heart. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? Because I've simply read you the word of God and what it talks about with community. But you need to have that conversation with him. And you need to allow the Holy Spirit to heal your heart from those hurts. Listen, I wasn't joking. My wife and I have been through some seasons where we wanted to just give up on this church thing. We've been through some things and we've experienced some hurts and betrayals that would just cause the average person to just go, man, that's it. I don't want this. But God showed up, healed our hearts, helped us forgive. Here we are today. He helped us also not forget the good because of the bad. And as imperfect as the body of Christ is, any church, guys, there's a lot of good. My life has been enriched in an amazing way because of the house of God. And not just because I'm the pastor. It's really come through the relationships. I have a team of people that we work together to promote the gospel here at this church. And so many church members that we view as family have become strong. The bond has become as strong as family. We're supported. We feel like, you know, the connection, it's an amazing thing. And some of you out there, you need that. But you're going to have to let go. You're going to have to submit to the word of God. And you're going to have to ask the Holy Spirit to give you the ability to trust again, to pursue again. You'll probably get hurt again. You say, well, if that's going to happen, why should I even bother? Because the blessing outweighs those hurts. The blessing that comes into your life can't even be measured. And most of all, the obedience that comes with allowing God to place you and plant you somewhere is amazing. So let's circle back. One reason the lion loses its roar is when it's taken into isolation. One reason a Christian loses his roar and becomes powerless, ineffective, is when a Christian goes into isolation. We've just come through 2020. We were all in isolation. It's time to come back. It's time to come back to the pride, to the family of God, and get your roar back. Come on, somebody. Get your roar. Get your courage back. Get your boldness back. Get your power back. Get your authority back. Get your stuff back. Get back on the mission. And allow God to use you in a way that He's never used you. Come on, let me pray for you today. Amen. Father, I pray for everybody that's watching right now, especially those that have dealt with church hurt. God, I know it's real, and I hope nobody just is taking this word like I'm saying, yeah, pray over it, get back to church. I'm not. But God, you got to do a work in their heart, and you can do a work. And I'm just trying to light the desire to get them back in the place that you want them to be. But Lord, you've got to do the healing. You've got to awaken the revelation. You've got to show them what's on the other side of taking that risk again to become a part of the body. Lord, restore our roar in a powerful way. I pray for everybody that's watching right now that doesn't have a relationship with you. Lord, may they come to a knowledge of you. When they ask you to be the Lord of their life, may they come back to you. There's somebody watching that hasn't been serving God. But Lord, it's as simple as asking you back into their heart, and you're there. I pray they do that. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you got something out of this today. I want to encourage you to get back to the gathering. Get back to the house. 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock, we have our services. We're still in limited capacity due to the regulations in the state of California, but we're doing as much as we can. I can't wait till we can just take the lid off of this thing and pack this place out. Open children's ministry, hopefully in the next month or so, we're hoping. But get back to the house of God. Amen. Hope to see you on Easter weekend for our outreach. It's a drive-through outreach. Load up the kids in the car, bring their Easter basket. We're going to have eggs, candy, all sorts of surprises for them. It's going to be a lot of fun, so make sure you come through to that. And last one we did, we had cars for miles. So allot yourself some time to go through the experience. And then, of course, join us Easter Sunday. It's going to be a blast. God bless you guys.
I think that this is your way of telling me something.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store. And you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.